Welcome to the Political Cesspool, known worldwide as the South's foremost populist radio program. And here to guide you through the murky waters of the political cesspool is your host, James Edwards.
Everybody, welcome back to the third and final hour of tonight's live broadcast of the award-winning Political Cesspool radio program. I'm James Edwards, coming to you tonight from AM 1380 WLRM Studios in Memphis, Tennessee, our flagship station, but by no means our only affiliate, as we are also broadcasting tonight to the AM-FM affiliate stations of the Liberty News Radio Network and simulcasting online tonight at thepoliticalcesspool.org and LibertyNewsRadio.com. So any way you want to catch our show, we've got you covered this evening, and I'll tell you, it has been a great evening. And how about that song, by the way? Such triumphant spiritual music for this time of the season from our people. That was actually Celtic Woman. If you've never heard them sing, you should do just that. It's going to be hard to top the last hour. Jared Taylor was our guest for the entire second hour. Jared Taylor, by the way, is actually in the chat room right now, this political cesspool, American Renaissance, Occidental Observer, online virtual fan party. It's taking place right now, ladies and gentlemen, simultaneously with the broadcast of this live show at cfcc.org. I figured the only way we could possibly stay on par with Jared Taylor is to bring on another intellectual heavyweight, and we've done that, to say the least. Dr. Kevin McDonald is our guest for this third and final hour tonight. He is, of course, a professor at California State University, Long Beach. He is the editor of the Occidental Observer and, of course, the author of many books, including his most recent, Cultural Insurrections. Kevin, great to have you back on the show.
It's great to be here, James.
You know, we kicked off this year, a year that was a banner year for us in many, many ways, in terms of media attention. You know, any standard of measurement, I guess, the political cesspool has exceeded its previous laurels. And this year started, Kevin, with you. You were on our show, I believe it was January 9th of this year. Hutton Gibson, Mel's father, was also on the show with you. That was how we started the year, and we're ending the year tonight with you as well. So Kevin McDonald is not only the opener, but the closer as well, as far as I'm concerned. And it's great to have you with us.
Well, it's great being here again. I really always enjoy being on the show.
Well, Kevin, you know, with that being said, let's dive right down into it. You know, we've got this chat going on right now, which you've also promoted at your website, the Occidental Observer. Let's talk about your website itself right now. It's seen some cosmetic changes recently, and as far as I'm concerned, the interest in your work there has never been greater.
Yeah, it's been good. We've had a sort of facelift. It looks different. It's one of these WordPress sites, but it's much more than that, because there's some technical people that have been involved, and they've gotten it to look right and gotten all the comments and everything. So there's actually a lot of technical things that needed to be done, and I'm not really good at that. So it was really nice to have some help. Matt Parrott has especially been helpful. He's associated with the Council of Conservative Citizens, and he's an activist on our side. So he's you know, very definitely had a big influence there. He's also blogging for us, by the way.
Yeah, you know, I know Matt. He's been on this show as well. And as I told Jared the previous hour, I'm somewhat, even though I'm only 30 years old, somewhat of a technophobe. I haven't really, you know, I consider it a victory to be able to send emails. And so even though we have a great website, that's of no credit of my own. But I'll tell you what, between everyone we have in our pool of resources, we get the job done. And certainly, Kevin, you're leading the way on many of those fronts. So we've talked about your website. Why don't you go ahead and give the address to that, and let's talk about some of the things you're writing about right now.
Okay, well, the address is www.theoccidentalobserver.net, all one word except for the .net. I just suggest Googling it. You'll get it pretty quickly. But we're talking about a lot of things. I think what's unique about our website is that we talk about Jewish issues. We try to do it in a rational, fact-based way. You know, things like the Israel lobby, things like Jewish involvement in multiculturalism and immigration and so on. So, but we also do quite a few other things. We've had several very, very interesting writers. Tom Sunich is writing for us. We've got several people that write under pseudonyms. Michael Colhays, a very poetic, artistic writer. Edmund Connolly is an academic. They're very incisive and very, very aware of the issues.
Well, I know another one of our cohorts, Dr. Roger Devlin, is someone who contributes from time to time. He's actually in the chat room right now, and he's got some questions for you, as do many of these other participants, and we're going to get to those questions a little later on in the show, actually, when we begin this very next segment forthcoming after this commercial break, which is right around the corner. But, Kevin, before we hit that commercial break, I believe we have about a minute until that time. You mentioned to me on the phone earlier this week a particular story of interest that you're following.
Well, right now, I'm actually doing some writing on what's going on in Europe, because there's some very interesting political parties that are really making some progress on the platform of being anti-Muslim immigration, and it's been very interesting to watch it, because one interesting thing about these parties is that they're very pro-Israel, they're very philo-Semitic and so on. And so it's very interesting to see this. They're making connections with the far right in Israel because they have a common ground in being anti-Islam. And of course, in Europe, the biggest problem that they have is Islam. You know, I mean, they are colonizing, they are not assimilating, they're taking very aggressive stances on the culture, and they are just very different. So I think Europeans are starting to wake up. Obviously, there's a long way to go.
Hey, Kevin, don't mean to interrupt you, my friend, but we've got to take a commercial break. In fact, that's a great place to leave it. Europeans are starting to wake up. Let's see if we can explore that a little bit further when we return and we take your questions from the chat room right after this.
Coming your way right after these messages. Welcome back. To get on the political cesspool, call us on James's Dime, toll-free, at 1-866-986-6397. And here's the host of the political cesspool, James Edwards.
All right, everybody, welcome back to the Political Cesspool radio program. James Edwards here with you in the studio, along with my co-host Winston Smith. Our featured guest this hour, coming on the heels of Jared Taylor's appearance, is another one of our good friends, Dr. Kevin McDonald, calling in tonight from California. And Winston, I know you've been monitoring the virtual fan party tonight. Kevin McDonald is the most popular guest we've had since Jared Taylor, it would appear, and certainly, he has more than a few fans in that chat room, and many of them are asking questions of him, and it's up to us to relay those questions.
James, I have five questions here. But I think the last one that I have is the one that that I would like Dr. McDonald to answer, because it's been a we've been going over this pretty hot and heavy on the chat room. So, Dr. McDonald, the question is, are Jews white?
That's a really good question and a difficult question. My view is that they are not really a European people. If you look at the population genetic research, it's pretty clear that they are Middle Eastern people. So if you want to include all the Middle East as white, and I think most people on our side would not want to do that, I would not consider them European. There is some European admixture. You know, there's, 30-40% or something like that. It's hard to see exactly, but they're certainly not as European as Germans or British or something. And the other thing is that Jewish attitudes are different. That is to say, they just have a long historical grudge against Europeans and their culture because of anti-Semitism, historical anti-Semitism, and the way they see themselves as victims over history, you know, culminating in the Holocaust. So I think that they don't really identify as Europeans. They identify as Jews, and especially with Israel now, you know, their whole focus really is on Israel as the sort of center of their people and culture.
I've been telling people on the chat room that they want to know if they want to say that Jews are white, then they should put that to a Jew and see how the Jew reacts. It's been my experience that by and large they do not consider themselves white, although they will occasionally claim to be white when it suits their purposes. They're a very practical people, and if it suits their purposes to claim to be white, then they will claim to be white. If it suits their purposes to be a religion, then they will claim to be a religion. They'll be whatever it needs to be to benefit themselves.
That's exactly right. There are times when it's beneficial to be an ethnic group. Like right now in Australia, they have laws against ethnic, hatred and incitement and so on. So Jews are claiming to be, to have a biological, ethnicity. But other times they have, rejected that and claimed to be a religion. So yeah, that's certainly true.
What kind of dog is that in the background?
Oh, he's a German Shepherd, I'm afraid.
A German Shepherd, excellent. I like that.
He gets all excited when he hears somebody outside or something.
All right, let's see. I have another question here. Did Dr. McDonald at any time find himself ostracized by his peers for his honesty? And I know that's kind of an obvious question. We've all followed your storied career and the persecution you've endured, but perhaps you could enlighten the person as to some specific examples.
Well, yeah, it's been tough. I mean, there were a couple of years. What happened was the Southern Poverty Law Center made a big issue of me, as they have the political cesspool, of course. But in my situation, I'm at the university, so they came to the university, and as everybody knows, there's a very sympathetic, favorable audience at a university for their kind of far-left ideas, plus there are a lot of Jewish professor activists. And so, yeah, I had 2 years of just intense hostility where I'd have hundreds of email messages from faculty, denouncing me for various things, and students coming into my classroom. It was bad, but it went away. And so since January of last year, I haven't had any trouble, I haven't any public, denunciations or anything, but still people won't talk to me, and they won't have lunch with me or be seen with me or anything, but...
And so I'll have lunch with you.
Okay, well, come on, and we'll have lunch together. That'd be great. But, yeah, it's been kind of tough that way.
Another listener asks, related to what you just said, do you ever find any of your students sympathetic to your views?
Well, not really. In my classes, actually, just recently, there's this kid who comes to my office hour and talks, and he's very interested in it. And actually, he's written some comments on our website, Occidental Observer, and he's pretty aware of things. He's an undergraduate, out of all the students and faculty and everything else, that's like one person. That's the way it is. I mean, we're in a very hostile environment for our ideas, and especially in the university. We have a very long way to go. And
enough of the fluff stuff. One listener wants to know what you predict for the United States in the next 50 years, best and worst case scenarios.
Oh, God.
Hey, Jared said Mark Twain was wise enough to say he would never make a prediction. So we're going to put Kevin on the spot here. Do you want to make a prediction, Kevin?
I don't want to make a prediction. Because, you know, what I'm hoping is that white people are going to wake up and to start to restore things, you know, insist that immigrants go home, that this was not legitimate, that this was never approved by a majority of American people voting on it, and it does not reflect their attitudes. And to try to right the ship. I mean, it's not impossible. So I think there really is a best case scenario that we can, you know, reclaim ourselves as a white, you know, explicitly white nation. And I don't think that's completely ridiculous. We're obviously very, very far away from that. The worst case scenario is that we sink into the third world and whites, are increasingly victimized. You have a coalition of non-white minority groups led by Jews who will fund all this and keep it together. We already see this as a voting coalition. You know, the Republican Party is becoming the white party. You know, 90% of its votes at least come from white people, whereas the Democratic Party is becoming the party of minorities, where you have 70, 80, 90% of these different groups voting Democrat. So, the politics is becoming increasingly racially polarized. And I think that something's going to have to give with that. I mean, white people may just, you know, I mean, what they want is for white people to just fade into the sunset. But I don't think they will. I think that there will be. And you can already see a lot of anger. The whole Tea Party movement is built on anger. It's built on anger that they are being left out, that the country is no longer their country, and they have no say. So I think that there's a lot of anger. You can't predict where it's going to go. And we may have a huge economic crisis because a lot of people seem to think that this is unsustainable, that what we're doing, and that would produce a lot of turmoil and maybe, you know, it may result in very good things for us, but it may result, of course, in a disaster because the people who hold the power right now are certainly not on our side.
Well, gentlemen, I'd like to ask you to hold it right there. Kevin, I asked this question of Jared Taylor earlier. So many questions for you are flooding in the chat room tonight. Would you mind staying on with us for a little extended play this evening?
Okay, sure. Yeah.
All right, well, we've got Kevin McDonald for 30 minutes already. We're going to keep him for at least one more segment when the political cesspool continues. Got a question from the chat room coming from a fellow political cesspool guest, another doctor at that. Dr. F. Roger Devlin has a very interesting question for Kevin McDonald, our featured guest this hour. We're going to get to that when the political cesspool returns this December 18th, Saturday night. Right after this on the Liberty News Radio Network, I'm James Edwards. Co-hosting with me, Winston Smith. We'll be back right after this.
Get on the show and express your opinion in the political cesspool. Call us toll-free at 1-866-986-6397.
I just can't believe. Now, this is the part of the show where I say the same thing every single week. I guess I say the same thing but I mean it every week. I can't believe how quickly tonight has gone by. Well, when you have guests like Jared Taylor and Kevin McDonald on the show, time will tend to fly. Kevin, thanks for staying on a little bit longer with us this evening than we had originally planned. Still questions pouring in from your fans, your readers at the Occidental Observer here in this Political Cesspool Council of Conservative Citizens chat room. One of the questions, and I'm going to ask Winston to continue to monitor the chat and accumulate other questions for you, which is not going to be hard to do. One of the questions comes in from our colleague, Roger Devlin. And he writes this, Kevin. James, if you recall, someone called in to talk about Jews in the feminist movement when I was a guest on your show. I said that feminism was certainly not a Jewish in origin, but wished then that I could hear Professor McDonald's views on the Jewish role in the feminist movement today. So, Kevin, is there a correlation between the various social movements that Jews have spearheaded and the feminist movement?
That's a good question. Actually, Roger's a great writer, and you know, we certainly we've had some of his stuff on Occidental Observer, and we hope to have some more. You know, the thing is, feminism is just not something that, frankly, I have really researched in depth. You can certainly point to, you know, people like Gloria Steinem and so on. But the reality is, there's an awful lot of, of the women who were involved early on and throughout have not been Jewish. And so I don't think it's as Jewish as, say, the various movements I discussed in the Culture Critique. So I don't think it's, anywhere near at that level. It's something that should be done, is to really get into that. I've heard people say that. I haven't seen a convincing case of it, and I've never really researched it myself.
Well, so there's the answer for you, Roger, from Kevin McDonald himself. Winston, any more questions from your end from the chat room?
Yeah, as soon as I get my get word up here.
We're multitasking here at WLRM Studios, everybody.
I'll tell you, this chat room is blazing. It's difficult sometimes. I think we have quite a few Jew trolls on there. They're just mucking everything up as they are wont to do. Anyhow, Dr. McDonald, here's a question. I'm pretty sure you will know to what this questioner refers. And what is your opinion of that Jewess in Sweden who said Europe can no longer be monolithic? Are you familiar with that that video that we saw where she said that that Jews will have a hand in governing Europe? Are you familiar with that?
Yes, I'm very familiar with it. I actually wrote a blog on it. I was outraged by it. What's interesting about it is that she says that, or one of the things that's interesting about it is that she says that any Jewish attitudes, anti-Semitism, is going to be the result of the fact that Jews have pushed multiculturalism so much. And that's interesting, because you don't really see that as a facet, of European culture at this point. But, when push comes to shove, and I think it is happening in Europe, I think people are going to be aware that Jewish organizations, Jewish money, have definitely promoted multiculturalism within Europe. And even now, when we had this huge, Muslim influx, there's quite a lot of anti-Jewish attitudes among the Muslims. And yet, the mainstream Jewish organizations, they are very much in favor of Muslim immigration. I think they believe that they can manage this, that will not really ultimately be a matter of Muslims persecuting Jews in Europe. The reality is she's a really good example of a sort of Jewish chauvinist. And she actually said in that video that if without immigration and multiculturalism, Europe will die. Now, where do you get that? I mean, what other society would say that without, bringing in all kinds of other people who are unlike us, and many of whom hate us, that we're going to die out as a civilization? I mean, it's just the opposite, obviously. Because if you keep letting these people in with all these different cultures, European culture disappears, obviously. So
that comes from a woman who's a citizen of an apartheid state.
Right, and it's amazing. And she's got this position in Sweden that I believe is funded by the Swedish government. This is the thing that just blows your mind, so many of our people, and especially our elites, are just self-destructive, and they bow down to these people and let them walk all over them, and it's just pathetic to see it. But I do think some people are standing up now. We're starting to see some real progress, I think, in Europe. Not so much in the United States. As far as really having a strong anti-immigrant political party that's winning some seats, winning some elections, we don't see that yet.
Can you enlighten our listeners as to a political party here in America that just might represent their interests?
Well, as you all know, American Third Position, and you just had an ad for it on there. This is what we want to do, and we want to have a explicitly pro-white, anti-immigration party where we say that our culture and the traditional white culture of America is worth preserving, and that if we don't, we will become a victimized minority, and that we have every right to do it. That's exactly what is happening in Israel. It happens in every other country. Nobody would say that, Korea has to admit 50 million Africans or something like that. But in every Western country has gotten this moral imperative that they have got to self-destruct. And if they don't, by God, they'll be a racist. And somebody wrote a book about that, about, racism schmacism.
That's right.
www.thepoliticalfestival.org.
Hey, this is one of the true pearls of this radio program is the cross pollination that we do for one another. Here is Winston. We're all talking to Kevin MacDonald, and obviously with him being our featured guest, we're plugging the Occidental Observer. That goes without saying. Winston here, though, plugging American Third Position. Kevin MacDonald plugging my book, and it's just all going around. That's the kind of brotherly love you'll only find on the Political Cesspool, gentlemen.
That's right.
I'd like y'all, James, I'd like you and Kevin to note that it's pretty much generally agreed on our chat room that we are inundated with Jewish trolls. And I just want to know from these Jewish trolls, are you bored with Wikipedia? What are you doing over here?
Well, and of course, here comes the obligatory statement. Obviously not all Jews are part of this radical Zionist, anti-American, anti-Christian, anti-white movement. We all have friends like Paul Gottfried, so on and so forth. But Winston does make a valid point right here. Wikipedia. Oh, don't get me started, guys. Kevin, I see your entry is disputed right now for neutrality. I don't know if you're ever going to win that one, buddy.
I have stopped reading it because it's just hopeless. I mean, it's just ridiculous. You make a change, somebody makes a change, and it goes right back, and you can't fight it, So I just gave up on that. I cannot win that one.
Well, hey, that's a whole nother can of worms there. If we get started on Wikipedia, the show's going to, the sand's going to run out of the hourglass by the time we're done with.
I think you're too polite in calling it a worms. I'd call it a stack of, never mind.
Keep in mind this is a family show, but yeah. I think we all know the direction that Winston is righteously going in there. But Winston, Kevin mentions he's given up on winning the battle with Wikipedia. I've almost given up on winning the battle with this chat room and trying to read everything before it scrolls past the point of no return. It's just one comment after another.
You can ask Keith.
Got another question for Kevin there, Winston?
What's that?
I said, do you have another question? I'll tell you what we're going to do. Winston, why don't you reinsert yourself into the chat room, gather another question or two for Kevin as we round out the show and bring this thing to closure. Let's take a call now for Kevin. It comes from Lydia in Florida. Lydia, you're on the air with James Edwards, Winston Smith, and Dr. Kevin MacDonald.
Hi, Mr. MacDonald. I am very much a great admirer of all that you have authored, and I wanted to get your take on this. Why do you suppose the Jews despise white Europeans as much as they do? It's almost like they say, well, it's because we're all anti-Semites, but they're the ones that create the anti-Semitism in the first place. So what's your take on that?
Hey, Kevin, Lydia, Kevin, before you answer that question, wouldn't you just know it? We're coming up on a commercial break. I'm going to ask Lydia to stay on the line. We're going to let her repose her question to Kevin MacDonald on the flip side of this commercial break. We will then take one or two more final questions from the chat room and plug TOO one more time before we wish everyone a Merry Christmas until next week. So stay tuned, everybody. One final segment coming up right after this.
Don't go away. The Political Cesspool guys will be back right after these messages.
We'll return. We'll return.
Jump in the political cesspool with James and the gang. Call us tonight at 1-866-986-6397. And here's the host of the political cesspool, James Edwards.
All right, everybody, one final fleeting segment here with Dr. Kevin McDonald. Let's jump right back into it before we close this thing out. Remember, a week from tonight will be Christmas night, so we will not be live, believe it or not. We will be playing a tape, so if you want to tune into the cesspool during our normal airtime, you will hear a best-of show, and then we'll be back with you 2 weeks from tonight with our next live installment on Saturday, January 1st, heading into a new year. We'll be doing the best-of show for 2010 and cutting our eyes toward the future to what 2011 might hold. That's 2 weeks from tonight, next week, Christmas night, taped show. Right now, one final segment with Kevin McDonald, and we have Lydia, a caller on the line from Florida. Lydia, you were able to get in that question before the break. I'm sure Kevin has been pondering it over the commercials. I'd like to ask you to repose it for all of those listening at home.
Well, I know not everybody is an anti-Semite. Obviously, I actually never knew about organized Jewry because they have done such a great job of hiding who is behind destroying the West. And, you know, I really don't consider myself an anti-Semite, but I am against organized Jewry. And they always scream, oh, anti-Semite, anti-Semite this, that, and they hate white Europeans because they claim that we're all anti-Semites, but really they're the ones that create these feelings because they take over the banks. They take over the media and the, you know, the teachings in the schools. And so, therefore, why wouldn't people be hostile to that? And so I'm wondering, why do you suppose they really just have it out for the white European race? That's kind of what puzzles me. So I just wanted to get your take on that.
Thanks for the call, Lydia. Kevin, an answer?
Yes, I think that's a very good point. I think that in my view of my views on anti-Semitism, I actually wrote a book on anti-Semitism called Separation and Its Discontents, and my view is that by far the most important
gotcha.
You know, examples of historical anti-Semitism have really been the result of conflicts of interest between Jewish groups and non-Jewish groups, and most of them have been rational. But that Jews, partly because, you know, all groups are like this to some extent, but especially when you're really ethnocentric, when you have a very strong sense of your own group, you tend to see criticisms of yourself as evil and irrational. That is, they are not able to really see their own behavior in an objective way. They tend to glorify their own behavior. They excuse it. They blame all of, you know, sometimes you'll see Jewish writers, they'll say, you know, all of anti-Semitism is a result of Christianity or something like that. And it's just silly, you know, that if you look at the real, what was really going on in historical examples of anti-Semitism, usually it had to do with Jewish economic domination, with, you know, charging exorbitant rates of interest, with oppressing non-Jews. And so, that's historical anti-Semitism. In the modern world, you know, things like media influence were, you know, Jewish interests and the policies that they favor are simply not in the interest, I think, of white Americans. And so you've had a long history of that, a Hollywood influence and so on. This is a very dominant elite group, and they're very important. They have a lot of influence. On the other hand, if you say that they have influence or try to really, you know, fathom the extent of their influence, well, then, yeah, they will call you an anti-Semite. They will say all these bad things. But, again, it's just an attempt to prevent any kind of discussion, real rational discussion of Jewish influence and what Jews have been up to.
Well, Kevin, you hit the nail on the head right there, and I want to once again thank Lydia for the call. And I want to reiterate a couple of your points, and that is, first of all, it can hardly be deemed anti-Semitic, the true definition of the word, or let's just, you know, if the definition of the word means to hate people of Jewish extract, it's certainly not anti-Semitic to say that they have a disproportionate amount of power based upon their percentage of the population. I mean, that's just a fact. And what's the problem with Jews having such a disproportionate amount of control over our media, over our schools, over our government, so on and so forth? Well, the problem is that they are radically liberal and, unfortunately, radically anti-white, radically anti-Christian. If they were pro-white, pro-Christian, pro-America, they would be our biggest allies. But to point out the facts of the matter is nothing but being a truth teller. And unfortunately, you have these egregious double standards in play where if you mention that which they celebrate in their own publications, you're an evil, you know, quote unquote Nazi or an anti-Semite, whereas they do it and it's all well and good. And of course, not all Jews are a part of this diabolical cabal, but until, you know, those Jews that are out there that love America kind of corral their, you know, their brothers, there's going to continue to be conflict. I don't think it's anti-Semitic in the least, though, to make my point, to point out these facts. I certainly have hatred for no one in my heart. I have certainly an affinity for my own family and a love for my own culture and my own heritage. I don't hate anyone, but I certainly hate many of the actions that have been taken against this country by people who seem to share a common denominator. Kevin, is that really summing it all up?
Yes, and you make a very good point. It wouldn't matter that Jews were, you know, wealthy and influential and on the media if they had sort of average, you know, sort of middle of the road attitudes, if they were on our side, and so on. It doesn't matter that Jews are an elite. What matters is that they are a hostile elite, and it's the hostility that is the problem. And this long history of advocating policy, you characterize it as the far left. Yes, that's pretty much what it is. And now you've got these neoconservatives, and they basically are they advocate almost all of the far left policies, except they are, you know, very pro war, and they want wars on behalf of Israel. So they're not really an improvement. So, you know, we have yet to really find a substantial Jewish community in this country that is on board with the interests of the white majority.
In case we run out of time, and we are beginning to run out of time, I want to remind everyone to not only check out Kevin McDonald's website, theoccidentalobserver.net. I want to encourage you to bookmark it and check it daily. It's one of my daily reads, and I encourage you to make it one of yours as well. theoccidentalobserver.net. There you will find many of Kevin's writings, as well as other contributors.
Including James Edwards, by the way.
Yeah, I was just about to say, every now and then he even indulges me and puts one of my articles up there, and for that I am eternally grateful. Winston, I know you're still there in the chat room, but I wanted to see if you had looked up into some of those quotes that we had been talking about in advance of the show tonight when we spoke on the phone. I think it was the ADL that made a list of the top 10 quote-unquote most anti-Semitic quotes of the year. Did you ever get a chance to look that up?
I did, but my computer crashed a little while ago, and I haven't looked it up yet. If you give me just a minute, I will do that.
Well, I don't know if we have a minute. That's the only thing. I guess I can paraphrase here. Kevin, I don't know if you're familiar with this yet, but there was a collection of quotes that the ADL deemed 2010's most anti-Semitic, and one of them was something as innocuous as saying, and I can't remember who it was, I think Helen Thomas represented about five of the quotes, Oliver Stone represented two of them, but one of them was something as simple as, you know, the Jews have too much power in Hollywood, and that was one of the top 10 most anti-Semitic, you know, hateful quotes of the year. It's really ridiculous. It's almost ridiculous to the point that it's almost unbelievable that these people can be taken serious.
Yeah, as you said before, if you look at Jewish publications, they will often be very proud of the fact that Jews run Hollywood. I mean, there's a, you know, very well-known cover of a Jewish magazine saying, you know, Jews run Hollywood. So what? Everybody knows it. And but if you say it, if I say it, and you say it, then we're anti-Semites. And they you know, protect that. They defend it. And so you can't say it in certain places. You can't say it in the LA Times or, you know, the sort of mainstream above ground media. And if you do, you will get fired very quickly. I think the list of comments was put out by the Simon Wiesenthal Center. It included things like Rick Sanchez, you know, who simply said that Jews are running the television media.
Yeah, Kevin, I think actually it might have been the Simon Wiesenthal Center and not ADL that pointed
it was, James. It was.
put out that list. Okay, I stand corrected. But anyway, folks, believe it or not, we are flat out of time. I hear our outro music playing, and we certainly want to leave you with a Christmas song tonight. Kevin, I want to thank you again for being our guest this third hour and for its entirety. Take care, my friend, and Merry Christmas.
I very much enjoyed it, and a Merry Christmas to you and everybody connected to your show.
Well, thanks again. We'll be talking to you in 2011, I'm sure. Ladies and gentlemen, Merry Christmas to you. We'll see you in 2 weeks. Tape show next week. On behalf of my entire staff, take care. God bless. Merry Christmas.
May your day be merry and bright. And may all your Christmas.
Thanks for joining us tonight in the Political Cesspool. To learn more about us or to make a donation to keep this program on the air, go to www.thepoliticalcesspool.org.